And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690K GGF Kyle High with you this morning. We hope you are having a fantastic day. Currently outside, it is about 36 degrees. And joining us on the phone this morning is the Chief of Police of Independence. We have Jerry Harrison joining us this morning. And good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Kyle. How are you?
I am doing good. It's good to have you on here today. And going to talk about a few things. And what we are going to talk about this morning is police accountability. And one of the first things, obviously, we want to talk about is hiring practices when it comes to the police.
Yeah, you know, Kyle, a lot of you talk to some folks and they're just not aware of what goes into making the sausage around here. But we have a pretty stringent hiring process. A lot of steps to that. We don't hire just anyone, and it's not unusual for us to host a hiring event and test and interview and not select anybody.
And of course, again, like I say, you don't select just anybody. But so, what are some of the things that the applicants are subjected to?
Well, a lot of the requirements are our own that we are we base on best practices in the law enforcement profession. And we have an officer that's gone through training to do the hiring and background process so that we make sure that we follow the law in that. But we also follow best practices to make sure we don't put someone on the street that is not going to serve our citizens well. But one of the many things we do, among the many things we do, we have a comprehensive employment background that goes back several years, and our officer will drive to the former employers and interview them. We go through the driving record. We go through references. And when we call those references, we'll ask that reference for another reference, and then we'll ask that next person for another reference. So we go three layers deep on that reference process. We do internet searching. Just to see what's out there online on the individual. We look at social media, credit history. We do a nationwide criminal records check. We do have a psychological exam done, and we also do physical testing. We have an oral board process. So, you know, when you think about the job interview that most people go through when they get a job, they sit down with the hiring manager and they go through an interview with that individual. Our interviews typically last at least an hour to an hour and a half per person. It's an oral board, so there's a 5 to 6 member panel that sits on that oral board. And, you know, we have members of the police department on there, fire department. We include our dispatch personnel. And then to allow some community oversight, we have a member of the police chief's advisory committee volunteer to sit on those interview panels. So it's a pretty stressful and extensive process. And that's, you know, there are times when, you know, we'll have a group of candidates and some of them may not meet the state minimum requirements, or some of them may not perform well through that process. And so that's why there are occasions when we're not able to hire anybody that applies with us.
And like you say, I mean, that's a very, very deep, comprehensive study that they have to go through. But you just mentioned it. There also are a few state minimum standards as well, in addition to what you guys go through, correct?
There are a number of state minimum standards that are, you know, I could go on about them for a little while, but to keep it brief, the two big things that'll show up are no domestic violence. So you can't have any convictions for misdemeanor or felony domestic violence. So you can't have a single one. So if anybody's ever had been convicted of domestic violence, they are not eligible to be a police officer in the state of Kansas. The other one is you can't have any violation of the law that demonstrates, you know, that go to honesty, trustworthiness, or integrity. So, you know, bad things, even as simple as bad check writing or shoplifting in your background, will really get a lot of scrutiny. And generally speaking, we don't hire those people that have those things in their background.
So, again, a very deep applicant hiring practice there as part of the police accountability. The next thing that kind of helps you guys with police accountability as well is also is car cameras and body cameras as well.
Yes, almost all of our patrol cars have a camera system in them, Kyle, and that system automatically activates when the lights are activated. So if an officer turns those lights on, lights and sirens on to run to an emergency call and they're acting as an emergency vehicle, that camera will be recording their driving behavior and that of the people that they encounter on their route. Same with the traffic stop. That camera will come on for the traffic stop. And they also have a feature on them that if the patrol car is involved in a car crash, that shock to the system will cause the cameras to begin recording. And the way those cameras work is they're actually continuously recording all the time, but they're rewriting that data over and over again so that they capture the 30 seconds prior to the event, if that makes sense. So even if the officer, you know, when the officer goes to pull somebody over and they flip those lights on, the camera actually captures 30 seconds prior to when the officer turns their lights on.
And that way it's a lot easier to find, you know, in that instance with the 30 seconds before. That way you can kind of see everything that's going on before it happened, not just, you know, as it's, say, you just flip the lights on and that's when it starts recording. It starts recording basically 30 seconds before that. So you can kind of see the run up to what's about to happen, correct?
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, and it's especially useful on the rare occasion that a patrol car is involved in a serious enough collision to activate that system. You know, let's say the officer was just on patrol and goes through a green light and somebody runs a red light and hits them. Well, that 30 seconds will capture that green light and show that the officer was driving in a safe manner, safe and legal manner. So it has a lot of, the cameras have a lot of beneficial features for law enforcement in that respect.
Absolutely. And also body cameras are another thing as well that's gotten wide use across the country to basically record if there's an incident that is going on to make sure that everything is good.
Yes. You know, almost all of our personnel, they have a body camera issued to them. And most of the body cameras work the same way. They have that 30 seconds of footage prior to activation. And we have policy in place that governs when the officers are required to activate their body cameras, things like traffic stops and investigative contacts. And in general, without going into great detail of the policy, but essentially we're not allowed to deactivate that recording once it's begun, except for strict circumstances. And the biggest one of those, or the most common one of those, is when someone's privacy concerns outweigh the purpose of the recording. So if you're in someone's house and it's a delicate situation, then, you know, that would be a time that the officer would be permitted to protect your privacy and deactivate the recording until it's appropriate to begin recording again.
And one of those things with the recordings, sometimes an incident happens and recording gets released. So how does the release of recordings work when it comes to the body cameras and also the car cameras?
The release of recordings, we follow state law on the release of our videos. The only people that will release, we don't actually release the video, but we are required to allow certain parties to view the video. Now, this is from an open records perspective. This doesn't apply to criminal cases and lawyers that are representing clients. This only applies to you and I, the normal citizen. If we wanted to see a video, we would have, as citizens, you would have to file an open records request see that video. And the only people that are by state law allowed to see that video would be people that are on the video parents or legal guardians of juveniles that are on a video, an attorney representing the person in the video, and then people involved in the estate of a subject that was on a video. So if someone was involved in a police report at some point and they passed away later on, then their heirs could provide documentation and be allowed access to view that video.
And so that goes with the release of recordings, not release as so much shame, but allowed to view the video. A certain amount of people allowed to view that. Also, the phone lines and radio traffic are also recorded as well with all of this.
Yes, the police department records the phone calls that come in and go out of the police department. The 911 calls are recorded. We record, I can't remember how many radio channels, but it's over 20 different radio channels. I believe we have 25 radio channels that we monitor continuously in our dispatch center, and I believe all of those are recorded. We certainly record the radio channels that IPD operates on and our fire EMS teammates operate on, and those are saved indefinitely on an electronic device that is specifically for recording those calls and archiving those calls. So oftentimes those 911 calls or the initial call into dispatch will be part of the evidence in a case, and so we make copies of that recording and submit that to the prosecutor and to the defense attorney so that they can work on the preparations for trial. But it's also a great oversight tool, because if someone calls in a complaint and alleges that an officer or a dispatcher was disrespectful or didn't do their job properly, then we can go back and listen to that recording. And we can also, we have a feature in that system where we can play back that recording in real life. So what it'll do is it'll take everything that was being recorded at that moment, all the radio channels, all the other phone calls that are happening. And that's especially useful when you have a major event happen. As an example, we had an emergency medical call one time, and at the same time, a caller reported a reckless driver, and the dispatcher put the caller for the reckless driver on hold so that they could provide emergency medical instructions, first aid instructions to the caller, because you know, obviously someone's life was in jeopardy and they needed those instructions to save that person's life or prolong that person's life. And so, that's going to, one of our policy is that on the Independence Police Department is that preservation of life is our highest priority. And so, of course, in that scenario, preservation of life trumped traffic safety. And so that caller was put on hold. That normally would not be within policy, but in this scenario it was. And so we can play that scenario recording back. We can confirm that the dispatcher did their job professionally and well, and it was not an example of misconduct. So that's one of the examples that the phone recordings can help us with.
Well, sir, we got about 2 minutes left, so we're going to skip ahead just a few spots. And one of the things that you did want to talk about was bias-based policing.
Yeah, that's a great topic, Kyle, and it's been a big topic from almost my entire career. And we monitor all of our discretionary activities. We record 23 data points. So if a police officer pulls a car over on a traffic stop or makes contact with a citizen in a high crime area and identifies them, maybe wants to search their backpack, we're going to require them to record some data on that, and we release that compiled data every year, and we're required by policy to monitor all officers individually and the organization as a whole, and then report it to the community. There is a state law that governs gathering that data, but it is not required that police departments do that. That's something that we do because we want to demonstrate to our community that we're doing the right thing, or that we're always on the lookout to detect problems and correct them.
Yeah, it's basically it's show, you know, like you say, you don't have to release it, but you're doing it for the community, just to show that you guys are being fair. And when you do something voluntarily, that also gains the public's trust as well.
Yeah, I think so. And we train our officers on fair and impartial policing every year. If anybody wants to look that up, there's data online about that. It just trains people on their implicit biases that they're not aware of and how to detect those biases and then not allow those biases to cause them to make unfair decisions. We also use a police chief's advisory committee that I meet with every month. They also look at our bias-based policing issues, and we give them training on bias-based policing and what we do to prevent inequitable treatment in our community. We want to make sure that everybody in our community is treated with the highest level of respect that they'll allow us to treat them with, and that we are equitable with our community so that we don't lose the trust of the citizens of Independence.
Well, sir, if anybody did want to serve on that committee, how can they get a hold of you for that?
Yeah, I would love to get some applications for our police chief's advisory committee. If they want to give the station a call, they can leave a message for me to contact them back. It's 620-332-1700, or they can email me directly, Kyle, at jerryh@independenceks.gov. Well, jerryh@independenceks.gov, and that email should be on the website as well.
All right. Well, sir, again, thank you so much for joining us today. We really do appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next month.
All right. Thanks, man. Have a great month.
See you next month. All right. Thank you so much. That's Jerry Harrison, the Chief of Police of Independence. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we will have news for you. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.